the movements that we built there for that.
The fact that this is everything you've been doing is a tribute to your brother. I just really appreciate that. And I just wanted to have the people get a sense of what just happened with Campaign Nonviolence. This is, again, Campaign Nonviolence is building a long-term flourishing movement for a nonviolent world, spreading active nonviolence to end war, poverty, and the climate crisis. And what were some of your favorites of what you saw around the United States or the world in this last week?
Well, there were so many things that happened coast to coast. One thing that was really a great development this year was that we had a lot of cities actually do a whole week of activities. Memphis, Tennessee, Raleigh, North Carolina, Boise, Idaho, San Francisco, California, Little Rock, Arkansas. We saw, for example, in Little Rock, they hosted a peace vigil, an equality summit for LGBTQ rights, a panel on peace in the Middle East, a food drive for the poor of Arkansas, and a public dialogue on the Pope's encyclical on the environment.
Mm-hmm.
We saw actions on the drone bases north of Las Vegas, Creech, you mentioned, and Horsham, Pennsylvania.
And Beale.
Wilmington, Delaware.
I was arrested at Beale for Occupy Beale.
You were at Beale.
Yeah, I was at Beale. Nine of us arrested.
You were arrested at Beale.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to lift my imaginary glass here.
Thank you.
And celebrate. Thank you, Chris, for doing that. That's so great. So important. It's so important for us to withdraw our consent from fire from the sky, from these systems of enforcement of policies of oppression. And thank you so much for doing that. And you know what? You use the most powerful language for this conversation we have to have with our society. You use the most powerful language at your disposal, your own creaky, vulnerable, beautiful, transplendent body, and unarmed, and saying, I'm going to use this language to have this conversation at the Beale and really with our larger society. So thank you for that so much.
You're welcome.
So
and we,
great.
And we also had an action in Chico that was an ideas, how, you know, about nonviolent Chico, what would it look like? And we took a 8 different areas of our town and had people write their ideas. And we did a penny poll that showed that people would rather give most of their tax dollar for education and the least amount of their tax dollar for defense. So kind of turned that one on its head, too. So it was wonderful. I'm so grateful.
Well, I should be interviewing you. This is great. Wow. I want to just really applaud what you and your friends have done in Chico. And that's just the kind of thing we want to see nationwide. It's not for me to tell people in Chico what a nonviolent Chico would look like. It sounds like you've been unpacking that. And then once we do that, once we create a plausibility structure, as they say in sociology, a sense like this is real, then we can begin to say, oh, we can build that. We can do that. We can build that out. We can connect the dots with everyone who's actually been working on nonviolent Chico for years, even if they never used that terminology. And, you know, when we get back on the radio in 5 years, we will be able to compare notes and see, oh, in fact, yes, nonviolent Chico is well on its way to the fulfillment of its possibility of being a beacon for the people of Chico, but also many other places.
And what I'd like to see is an end to fragmentation, that, you know, that climate change and the peace movement, we are all working on the same issues, and we all are part of this huge wave, and to see ourselves that way is so important.
Well, that's right. And one of the things that we are inviting ourselves and others to do this next year is to deepen and broaden a movement of movements, to connect the dots between these different issues, because we, as I said, we have more power than we think, but it is in the interest of systems that don't want to see change, that they want to make sure we don't tap this power and that we don't discover one another and connect with one another. So that's what we need to do for sure.
And I don't have you for a lot longer, but I want to ask you, how does one approach the political system in this time of such tremendous dysfunction?
Right. You know, we were sold a bill of goods at the beginning of this country that said that, well, politics really is just a little activity we do every 4 years. And in fact, there are many different ways of doing that politics. We will not see change until we have created the people power to end the climate crisis, to end poverty, to end racism, to end the tendency to go to war every 5 minutes. That is going to require nonviolent people power. So politics, yes, but another form of politics, that is to say, building nonviolent social movements. And we now know that by doing that, we can bring down the pillars of support that keep these forms of violence and injustice in place. And then politicians will move off their position. I've seen that many, many times, including in San Francisco, where we did this movement to end persecution of homeless people. And we created the conditions for the politicians to move off their positions. But we've seen this in many settings as well. We can do that everywhere. We can do that in Chico. It doesn't mean we don't vote. It doesn't mean we don't get engaged with the electoral system. But that those the more powerful way to do this is by finding one another, pooling our people power, withdrawing our consent, and creating consent for an alternative.
Mm-hmm. And the same would be with a capitalist system that is more and more resources in the hands of so few, while the others suffer. I mean, I see that it is kind of a race against time. I mean, I like the idea of the long view, and I'm not going to say but there I am saying it. How to grow this as quickly as possible? It's just, I hope you can give us some resources or references of how, outside of the work that we're doing locally, what people can be reading, what can inspire people, and that sort of thing.
Well, I do encourage everyone to read Doing Democracy by Bill Moyer, originally published by New Society Publishers. I think we should have study groups all across the country, people really getting his system. It really, really has helped me in my own organizing.
Mm-hmm.
I think reading the Global Nonviolent Action Database entries, there are 1,000 cases on that website of nonviolent people power in action in this country and around the world. It's really a fabulous resource that we now have.
Can you state
Waging
it again?
Nonviolence.
Wait.
What's that?
Is it Waging Nonviolence? What is the website?
Oh, the Global Nonviolent Action Database.
Okay.
Global Nonviolent Action Database. And then Waging Nonviolence, I write for occasionally. These are all resources that are relatively new. The last few years, we've gotten these resources. I think it's really important to be drawing on those pieces. And then the International Center for Nonviolent Conflict has all kinds of resources on its website, and it's published a series of books, including resources on this question of, like, the United States history and the American Revolution being nonviolent and so on. But I would say about time, I would say two things. I would say, yes, we do know that nonviolence is contagious, and this power that we have that the system does not want us to exercise can be dramatically... There can be dramatic shifts, and we need to be working for those so that these problems that really need responses, we can move more quickly on. It'll only happen by finding one another and organizing. But the other part of this, I'd say, is this. Nonviolence creates time. nonviolence creates time. That if we pursue nonviolent strategies and training and organization and coming together and being part of that beloved community in a deeper way, that it's that the beloved community is on our block and not just someplace in a book or something, then we will create movements that will create a more spacious ability to deal with these problems. And I just come to that conclusion that, yes, it can be fast, but it can also be something where, because we've laid the groundwork well, we actually are creating opportunities that we didn't think were there for making changes.
Ken Buttigan, I really appreciate you and everything you're doing. Can you give us, in this last minute, can you tell us some references about how people can read your work or learn more about Campaign Nonviolence?
Sure. Well, first of all, if you can go to the Campaign Nonviolence website, so that's campaignnonviolence.org. You can also get to it through our organization, pacebene.org. The best way to reach us there is on email is info@pacebene.org. That's PACEEBENE.org.
Well and good.
So, great.
Yeah, thank you so much. And one of the things you wrote in Waging Nonviolence, and I think this is a wonderful fantasy, and I hope it will come true. You said, what if Pope Francis were to write an encyclical on nonviolence directed to the church, but also addressed to the world? It would really help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, some of us are not only praying for that, but actually taking steps to pursue that invitation. So.
Thank you so much for everything.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, well, hey, it's been great being on your show, and thanks for being in Santa Fe, and thanks for being arrested as well for nonviolence and justice.
I can't say any time, but thank you. Thank you very much. All right.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so I have had a wonderful time with you today, and I hope that you've enjoyed these incredible two people, Ken Buttigan and before that Paul Ehrlich. And we have much to do in our world, and I'm grateful to be part of this beloved community. Peace and Social Justice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Emporium Presents, announcing Folk and Bluegrass Artists of the Dave Rawlings Machine with Gillian Welch, coming to the Paradise Performing Arts Center on Tuesday, October 20th. Ticket sales begin on Friday, September 18th at 10. Dave Rawlings Machine also has a new album releasing this month, Nashville Obsolete. For more information, visit DaveRawlingsMachine.com, and for tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. And by D.A. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KZFR and Community Radio in Northern California. For more information, visit D.A. Lampe, L-A-M-P-E, Construction.com. Rick is in the house for Playing Dead, so please stay tuned. It is less than a minute away. I'm just going to put on a song to transition, but you won't hear much of it. Peace to you all. Bye.
It's time once again for the KZFR Community Calendar. The Salmon Gathering and Wild Mountain Picnic will take place Friday, October 2nd and Saturday the 3rd at Crane Park in Concow. Friday night, purchase an inexpensive dinner to benefit the Concow Maidu Cultural Preservation Association, then stick around for open mic and drum circle. Saturday at midday there will be a salmon feast, and on Saturday night, Dylan's Dark